Miles forwarded the resignation thread to Avery before breakfast, as if ownership survived the send button. Subject line, transition clarity, body, paragraphs about loyalty, optics, and a meeting she was still expected to lead remotely. He CC'd her old assistant. He CC'd legal. He did not CC shame, because Miles had never learned its address. Avery read it at the mill kitchen table with her phone propped against the sugar jar. Jude came up the stairs with two mugs and stopped when he saw her face. "Work ghost," he asked. "Ex-boss ghost," Avery said. "He wants me to prove I am not unstable, in writing." Jude set a mug down within reach but did not touch her. "Do you want tea or do you want a witness?" "Witness," Avery said. "Then tea." She read the email aloud. Jude listened the way he listened at clinic, no performance of outrage, no rush to fix. When she finished, he asked one question. "What do you want your no to sound like?" Avery laughed, brittle. "Lawyer polished." "Try human first," Jude said. "Polish later." They drafted a reply at the table. Three sentences. No apology for breathing. A request that all contact go through counsel if he could not respect boundaries. Jude did not add his name. Avery did not ask him to. When she hit send, her hands shook. Jude slid the bowl across the counter, the one they used for phones on hard nights. 10 minutes, he said. "Name what your body is doing. Jaw locked. Stomach hot. Want to prove I am fine by working until I collapse. Pick rest as rebellion," Jude said. She did, which surprised her more than the email. Tess called that afternoon, video this time, propped against something in her own kitchen 200 kilometers away, worry dressed up as casual curiosity the way it always was in the early weeks. She studied Avery's face through the small screen with the same scrutiny she would have used in person, missing nothing despite the distance. "You look better," Tess said. "Do not ruin it by calling me paranoid." "I called you paranoid before you finished the sentence." "Good instincts. Have you eaten anything with an actual vegetable in it today?"
"I had a pepper.
It was mostly decorative, but it counts."
"Barely.
I'm sending real food with the next person I know driving that direction." Avery let the phone drift, showing Tess the brick, the mill race, the corner of the loft that had started, slowly, to feel like an actual room instead of a waiting room for her old life. Tess asked about the clinic.
"About sleep."
She did not ask about Jude by name until several minutes in, which was Tess pacing herself the way she always did with anything that mattered.
"You mentioned a neighbor last week.
The knocking thing.
He knocks twice.
It's a whole system now."
"That is a detail, not an answer.
He is my neighbor. He is also the person who makes me put my phone in a bowl before I spiral. I'm not ready to make it bigger than that in a conversation happening through a screen, if that's all right." Tess considered that, weighing the request against her own worry, and, for once, chose to let it sit rather than push.
"All right.
But I'm coming up eventually to see this bowl system for myself, in person, so I can form my own opinion instead of trusting your version of events.
I'd expect nothing less."
"Good. Eat the rest of that pepper before you hang up."
"I'm watching."
Avery finished the pepper on camera, mostly to make her sister laugh, and it worked. After the call ended, the loft felt quieter in the particular way it did after any conversation with someone who loved her enough to worry properly. Avery stood on the balcony where Kingston showed its working face, boats, brick, a grocery with a handwritten hours sign. Jude joined her without crowding, having heard the tail end of the call through the open window below. "Your sister negotiates like a contract," he said.